Wonderful. You know, we're so blessed to have so many talented people, so many people with a heart for God, so many people that just pour their hearts. I tell you, that is truly a blessing. Thank you for that. And, you know, it's funny, too, the song that they sang, it wasn't planned. This evening I'd come and I'd seen them there, and I thought, you know, I'd really like to hear y'all sing tonight. And they graciously, on the spot, agreed to sing a song. I'm so glad that they did. But what's amazing to me is that the song that they sang is at the very heart of our message tonight. The title of the message tonight is Faith on Fire. And at the very heart of that is the chorus of that song, My Jesus, I love thee. That fire I'm talking about that love for God. Not just acknowledgement that he is God, not just desiring what he's promised, not just wanting to have eternal life and to spend time with him, but have that deep-seated emotional yearning for God. There's a fire that we feel whenever we first come to God that just gets us excited. It gets down into the very depths of our souls, and it's all we can think about. It's all we can talk about. And there are times in our life when that kind of dips a little bit. The flame seems to become nothing but a flicker, and sometimes it even seems as though it's merely coals. And other times that it's an inferno and it consumes us. And I wish with all of my heart that each and every single believer could feel that continuously, nonstop, that inferno of desire, of burning, to wanting to be close with God, not just because of what he's done or who he is, but wanting and desiring him in your life. That's what I wish that we felt 24/7, every day of our lives. That's what we're supposed to feel. That's what we're to desire in our lives. And if you've been coming here any length of time, then you've most likely heard me pray, and in doing so, you've heard me speak of being on fire for God. You've heard me use that language before. And that language isn't coincidental. It isn't just a saying or a popular phrase. That's a biblical standard here. And I want to show you that here shortly. Like I said, it's long been my prayer that I would be always and continually filled, completely consumed by a desire for God, and that every believer would be consumed for the fire for God. This evening, I want to examine the scriptures with you in order to take a look and to answer some questions that you may have about what it means to have faith that is on fire for God. Join me as we pray. Father God, we come before you tonight, Lord, humbled, Lord, in awe, Lord, full of wonder at your majesty and your grace. Father, we thank you for the love that you've bestowed upon us, that as the song was singing out in refrain, Lord, that you first loved us, Lord, and you loved us while we were yet sinners. Father, you gave your only begotten Son, Lord, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. Father, we thank you for that great love that you gave. Lord, we ask that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Father, that their hearts would be stirred, that they would be pricked in their very souls, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would descend upon them as a fire, Lord, drawing them close to you, Father. And for each one of us, Lord, those of us who are called by your name, those who have come and made you our Lord of our lives, Father, some of us here, Lord, the fire may be dying down a bit at some points in our life. Maybe it's dying down right now. Lord, maybe it's nothing but coals that are smoldering. Father, we pray that Father, you would help us to reignite, Lord, to revive the fires in our hearts, the fire, the yearning in our souls for you. Father, we pray this for every believer, Lord, most of all for each and every one of us. Lord, it's a prayer that we have for ourselves to desire you fully and completely, Lord. Father, for we love you. Father, we thank you. We're humbled by your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to speak clearly, to speak powerfully, Lord, to really show what the scriptures have really been pressing upon my heart, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so what does it mean exactly? What does it mean to be on fire for God, to be yearning for God? And I told you in the introduction there, this language that we use, this being on fire for God, we have to look at it in context here, especially in the context of our relationship with God. I want to identify what the fire is that I'm speaking of before we do anything else, because we've got to grasp what this fire is. And to do that, we'll need to open our Bibles. We'll need to go to the Old Testament where we first see this fire explained, and then you'll find that it is a common theme throughout the biblical narrative of this fire. We're going to go to Leviticus. We're going to go to Leviticus chapter 6. That's where we'll be beginning our message tonight. Give me just a moment as I myself turn there to Leviticus. All right, Leviticus chapter 6 is where we'll be in our study tonight. We're going to go down to verse 8. And I'm going to read with you, if you would please join me, as we read verses 8 through 13. And right after we read that, I want to make some points here. And I believe that by the time we finish with this, this first part, I think you'll grasp what the fire is. So there in Leviticus 6, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, these are the Levites, right, the priests, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering. Because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning. In other words, he says, this is why it's called the burnt offering, because I want you to put a fire on that altar. And he says, and I don't want it to go out. It's to burn all night long. In other words, he's saying, when the night comes, when it becomes dark and it becomes cold, I want that fire alive. I want it burning. That is why it is the burnt offering. Now, as we continue, he says, and the priest, keep note of who's responsible for this, the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen breeches, shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes with the fire, which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. Now he's to be holy. That's the representation of these linen garments that he's putting on. They represent holiness, righteousness, right? They're clean, they're unsoiled, they're new. And he shall put them beside the altar. Those are the ashes, right? That which has been burnt. And he shall put off his garments afterwards and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. So he shall take them out of the camp unto a place that's clean, preserved, a pre-identified spot. And the fire upon the altar, what? It shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Now notice something. I want you to think about this. What did it say about the fire? How is it to burn? All night until the morning. And what did we just see happens in the morning? The priest adds wood to it. What happens when you add wood to a fire? It continues burning, doesn't it? So here's the implication. He's saying that the fire isn't to go out. You don't simply go and put the wood on there and let them do the burnt offering. Then when it's done, you put the fire out and you're done till next time. He says, no, no. You can perform the burnt offering on this altar, but I want the fires lit continuously. They don't go out. In the morning, you add wood. And it's to burn when? All night long. Until the next morning when you add wood. That's the point. That's the image that's being given here. And notice he says, and we know that that's the intention. Why? Because it says, and the priest shall burn wood on it, what? Every morning. In other words, don't stop. Priests, don't let the fire go out. That's what he's telling them. He says, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. In other words, the fire continues to burn, and you bring the offering to it, place the offering into the fire. And when it's done, okay, you take the ashes and you carry them away. But the fire keeps going. It's continuous. It's always burning. It says, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Note the last part there, verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall, when does it go out? Never, it says. It shall never go out. Now, there is a great deal of significance that we miss if we're not paying close attention to what's going on here. And there is a precedent being set here for the believers of God, for the people of God. Today, that's you and I, amen? Back then, at this time, it was Israel. It was the people of God. You may notice that God puts quite a bit. Who's saying this? Beginning in verse 6, and the Lord said, this is God's commandment to the people. On top of that, I want you to notice that God has put a great deal of emphasis, because he repeats himself a number of times in these five verses, the fire shall not go out. God does not repeat himself lightly. No one with any sort of authority repeats themselves lightly. When you were coming up in your father's house, did your father like having to repeat what he had to say to you? Mine didn't. He said it once. Do you think a king repeats himself after he's given a command? No. God repeats himself here, but he does so with a good purpose. He's doing so to drive home the emphasis, the importance. Do not let that fire go out. Now you see here where I get that idea of the fire in us from, but you've not yet made the gap yet. I don't think we've quite spanned the gap, the bridge of what the fire represents, what the fire is. We're going to do that now. A number of times, there's this command that the fire must not go out. And in order to understand the significance of the fire, we need to take a look at the fire as fire is represented in the Old Testament, and it even follows through and continues to be represented in this way in the New Testament. Let me show you a couple of examples of what I mean. First, in Exodus chapter 3, head over to Exodus, and we're just going to kind of thumb through a couple of things real quick just so you can see this, although all of the events we're going to name are very prominent events in the biblical narrative, and so I'm confident that pretty much everyone's going to know exactly what we're talking about. But you'll see that it goes through here in Exodus. We'll use three examples. Exodus chapter 3, we see the emphasis placed on fire. It is seen in the burning bush. What? Why? The bush was on fire with the Spirit of God. God manifested himself as fire before a trembling Moses in the wilderness. That takes place in Exodus 3. So we see the presence of God there. Then Exodus 13, 10 chapters later, if you get to verse 21, because I want you to see this. I want you to see that this is how it's represented. 13, verse 21, God appears again as fire, only this time it's in the form of a pillar of fire as he leads his people, the Israelites, through the wilderness at night. So what do we see the fire represented here? It is the presence of God, just as it was in the burning bush. Again, it is the presence of God being seen, being manifested. A short while later, Exodus chapter 24, Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, on the top of Mount Sinai, when Moses brought the people to the bottom of the mount, when he brought them to the base of the mount, and they looked upon and they said that the whole mountain shook with smoke as if it was a flame with the Spirit of God upon the top of the mountain. Again, we see what? The presence of God taking the form of fire. You say, well, okay, that's three from Exodus. Where else? Well, how about 1 Kings? 1 Kings, there's a well-known story. How about with the prophet Elijah? Whenever he's facing the worshipers of Baal, and they're saying, okay, go ahead, Baal worshipers, call your God for his presence and his power to be seen. Call him down. Tell him to go ahead and bring fire down. They couldn't do it. But when Elijah calls on God, he calls on God and God does make himself manifested. He shows himself mighty. How? By fire. By fire he makes himself seen. Also, with Elijah, with the group of the captain with 50 and the three groups of 50 men that came to take him, what happens? They are consumed by what? Fire. Why? The presence of God. The wrath of God. The power of God. Here's some New Testament examples where we see the very same precedent carried on into the early church. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist said in verse 11 of that chapter, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water. He says, but there's one who's coming after me, who is greater than me, one whose sandals I am not worthy to strap, one whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie, so to speak. He says, and he shall baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and with fire. That's his words in verse 11. At Pentecost, it says that the Holy Spirit, he what? Descended as what? Cloven tongues of flame is what he descended upon them at Pentecost. I spoke earlier this morning, we were talking about being on fire for God, and I was talking to you a little bit about Peter and how he wasn't quite converted when he was struggling with some things in his faith. And you may have been wondering, well, when then was he converted, if not during all this? Well, the answer to that is at Pentecost. The first conversion to Christianity that we see, the first true believers, takes place at Pentecost. How do we know that? Because what happens to a believer whenever they believe on the Lord God? They are filled with the Holy Spirit. That took place at Pentecost. So at Pentecost, we even see that it comes down with tongues as of fire. That's in Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Now, you may be seeing it already, but just in case you've missed it, let me explain what the significance is of the fire. Fire, all throughout the Word of God, as I hope I've made clear, it represents the presence of Almighty God. God, a multitude of times, makes himself known through fire. He presents himself as fire every time. Now, in each of the examples that I just spoke to you, I want you to see something, though. It was the presence of God which was working the miracles that we see. It was God who had the burning bush. It was God who was causing the bush to be aflame yet not burn up. It was God who was leading the people through the wilderness. It was God who made himself seen powerfully and mighty as the one true God in front of all of the Baal worshipers. It was God who is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it's God who come down to give his Spirit at Pentecost as tongues of flame. Now, we often use the expression on fire to describe someone who's having a good streak, or they're doing quite well, they're exceedingly prosperous. But we also use the term on fire, as I'm using it here, to explain a yearning, a desire for God. For anything, really, we say that he's really on fire for that. Why do we say that? Why do we use that expression? Because we use that expression of fire to explain the feeling that we have. It's almost like a burning, a smoldering within our being that isn't quenched, that doesn't go out. It burns within us. And that's not coincidence. When the Spirit of God comes to fill the believer, there is a fire within us. You guys remember whenever you first got saved? You guys remember whenever the gospel was brand new? Do you remember? I pray that you still have this same feeling, but I understand and I know that it's not always the case. I understand that our faith, sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. I understand that sometimes our relationship with God, it dips, it goes valleys, and it has high points. It has times when we struggle. But do you remember the day, the moment, the week, and hopefully many weeks after, when you came to a true faith in God, when you truly receive salvation? Do you remember the fire that was in your bosom? Do you remember how you couldn't stop thinking about it? You couldn't stop reading. You had a million questions you wanted answered. All you wanted to do was know God more. You couldn't get enough. I remember it. I pray that I never lose it. And every time that I feel the relationship start to lax, I know whose fault that is. It's mine. It's yours. And it is my deep desire, and that's why I pray so often that every believer would be in a constant state of burning for God. Now, I want to take this understanding of God's presence, the presence of God within us as that burning, as that fire, and I want now to make the connection, if you will, to what we read in Leviticus. What did he say about the fire? The fire is not to go out, ever. Day and night it's to burn. And in this contrast, what is the fire? What do we put there? We put the offering there. We put the sacrifice there. God is saying to the Levites, he's saying to his people, I want you to burn for me continuously. I don't want you to have high moments and low moments. I don't want you to level out and just live ordinary lives of, yes, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. He's great. He said, I want you to be completely enamored with me. I want you to be on fire for me, yearning for me, burning for me. He said, and don't let it go out. That's the message that he had. That's what he told the priests. Never let it go out. Every morning, what's he say to do? Put wood on it. Keep it alive. Furthermore, I want you to pay attention to this. Whose responsibility in Leviticus, in the passage that we read, whose responsibility was it to keep the fire going? The priest. That's right. So I want to point this out to you. Whose responsibility do you think it is for us to keep our relationship with God strong, on fire, to keep in our hearts that yearning for God, wherein we would forsake anything for him, wherein we think of him constantly, wherein we are desiring to be close to him constantly? Whose responsibility do you think that is? It says it's the priest, right? Do you know the context of who that is today? I'll give you some hints. It's not your pastor. It's not your deacons. It's whoever it was that brought you to an understanding of the gospel. You are priests. Scriptures tell us that we are a royal priesthood, does it not? It identifies us as a royal priesthood. God tells you and I that we are to be putting the wood on that fire every morning, that you are to keep the fire burning for God. I'm to keep that fire burning for God in my own heart, in my own soul. It's no one else's responsibility. It's the priest's job. But thanks to Christ, there is no mediator between God and man except the one, Jesus Christ. You are the one who comes before God. You are the one who makes petitions unto the throne. You are the one who comes to the Lord with all the things upon your heart. You are the one who says to God through your own mouth, my Jesus, I love thee. Completely enamored. That's the picture that we see in Leviticus. And I have a question for you. Are you on fire for God? Or is the fire come down to coals? You see, once God comes into our life, once that Spirit fills us, the fire never goes out. Fire going out would be the absence of God's presence, right? So that doesn't happen, for salvation is forever. Salvation can't be lost. That doesn't mean that the fire doesn't get down to coals, to where there's not much heat, not much light coming off of that fire. What does a fire do? Why does it need to burn all night? Well, for one, it represents the presence of God in our lives. But that fire also is a beacon. It's a signal light. It's to burn all night long. Anyone who sees it can say, I see light over there. There's warmth there. Something's drawing me over there. That's the fire of God in us, the people of God. Now I want you to see something as we continue here. If you go back to those scriptures, that's in Leviticus 6, verses 12 through 3, is where it talks about how the fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. And that verse I gave you earlier, though I wasn't looking here, the verse is 1 Peter 2:9. That's where he identifies. He says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, from time to time, we may feel, don't be discouraged, for I am the same as you, and truly so is any man. We may feel as though we need our spiritual fires to be stoked. And is that not the purpose? I think that's the purpose, right, of these revivals that we have so often in this area. I'm kind of new to them, but I think that's the purpose, right? Revivals, they don't really seem to be for those who already know. They don't seem to be for those who don't know God. They seem to be a revival for those who do know God and need a kickstart, a little kerosene on their spiritual fire, so to speak, right? It's where we go and we praise and we worship and we get fired up, so to speak, about God, right? These are these terms that we use. They come from the biblical background. It's not coincidence. I want you to see this also, though. I got a couple more things to show you here before we get to the end. I hope we don't go over, but if we do, we do. All right, so I want you to see something. It says that we are to do what with the fires to keep it going? How are we to keep it going? What's it say to do in the scripture that we read? Put wood on it. When? Every morning. Two things of importance there. First of all, putting wood on the fire. Putting wood on the fire, we put that to practical application for today. It's basically saying, invest in Christ. What is the wood? The wood represents our time, our sustenance. It represents everything that we have, everything that we are. It's saying, give to God your time. Make time to communicate with God. Make time to give of yourself for God. Give him something to burn. And here, that would be alone time with the Lord, time in the Word of God, time in prayer, time communicating with God, time reflecting and studying the Scriptures to know him more. Now, not only is it important that we understand what the wood represents, but it's even more important, I think, that we understand when. When does he say to do this? Every morning. Why do you think that is? Because just like this fire here, which he's speaking of wood, it burns out over time. He's saying, if it's going to last all day, if it's going to burn all night, then the first thing you've got to do every morning is you've got to put wood on that fire. If you don't, then come nighttime, it'll be out. And it's the same with our relationship with God. If we don't continually put wood on that fire, if we don't meet with God every morning, we don't need the strength to get through the night, unless you're up at night. Right? Why? Because we're going to go to bed then. We need the strength of God to get through the day. We need the strength that God gives us to draw us close to him, to keep our minds focused on God, our hearts focused on God as we go through our day. He says, you're not prepared, you're not equipped. Come in the morning and stoke that fire. First thing, rise up early, make the time. And often I've heard this saying, and I've been guilty, okay? I've been guilty of this. We say, I don't have the time to get up any earlier. I already get up before the sun, all right? The sun isn't up when I'm up, preacher. If I was to tell you that if you get up tomorrow at such and such time, there'll be $1 million sitting outside, I bet you'd get up. I would. If you were to tell me, Josh, if you can go to bed in the morning and be up by 1:30 but actually go to sleep, I'd be up at 1:30. Why? Because what I have to gain is worth it to me. I would make it happen because my desire would be great enough to compel me to do it. How much more so should eternal life and a relationship with Almighty God be to us? I encourage you, if you're not putting aside time for God, to make that time in your lives. It will change everything. We've got to put that wood upon the altar every morning. Truly, it's whatever time that you can make in practical application. But truth be told, it needs to be before you set out every morning. Why? Because where should God be in our list of priorities in our lives? Where does he deserve to be? Do we get to him at the end of the day after everything else is done as kind of, well, I'm done with everything I needed to get done. Let's get to you now. Is that how it's supposed to be? Absolutely not. It's God. Your first place on my heart, your first place in my life, your first priority. Without you, nothing is worth anything. That's the idea that we see there in Leviticus. And I think it's clear to see, too, that wood is representative of time spent. How is any relationship measured? In time, right? Is it not? Absolutely it is. That's how we measure any relationship. How well do you know so-and-so? You don't say, about $50,000 worth. No. How would you answer that question? I've known them for X number of years. I've known them since I was small. I've known them for about a week or two. I've known them for... We always label our relationship, how strong it is, how well we know someone. We identify it as the time that we've been with them, the time we've invested. It's no difference with God. Time with God is what strengthens your relationship with Him. And that's what the wood represents. Lastly, where does the relationship begin? I think you know. The relationship begins at another piece of wood, the cross. The relationship with God begins at the cross. When we come before God, humbled, acknowledging our sin to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And from that moment, if we believe in our hearts who Christ is, that He died, that His promises are true, it's more than lip service. It's a heart cry. God says He will come. He says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And from that moment, there is a fire. The Holy Spirit comes, and that's what He meant when He said, the one who comes after me is greater than me. He shall baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's a refining process. It's a refining element. The Spirit and the presence of God dwelling in us, the temple. That's what it's all about. Let me close with this, and we'll have an invitation. I want you to be honest with yourselves and with God. Something we're called to do is to reflect, to examine our lives, to examine our relationship. We will never get it right. We will never get closer if we can't acknowledge where we truly are. Ask yourself and answer this question, as God would see it. How's your fire burning? Do you need to put some wood on the fire? Is the altar getting a little low? How about in your home? How's the fire burning? Things to think about. Praise God for His love. Here in a moment, we'll have the invitation. And that invitation is the same invitation that Christ made so many years ago to the disciples. It's an invitation to follow Christ. It's an invitation to give all for God. It's an invitation for Him to light the fires of your heart, to save you from the punishment that's upon you for the sins that we've committed. It's an opportunity to declare Him as Lord of your life, your all in all. Christ says that if you do that, you shall be saved. And the saving is made wonderful, not in the fact that we avoid hell, but in the fact that we gain God. If you've never come to a place where you trust God with your life, you trust Christ with your eternity, but you want to know Him better, you want Him to wash you of sin, and in a moment the congregation is going to sing, and at that time we invite you to come, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're saved. Or maybe you're singing, you're saying, preacher, I've already done that. I'm convinced. I have a relationship with God, but preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to stoke the fires of my heart, and I'm not ashamed to say that I want prayer. I want God to be with me. I want God to strengthen and be powerfully present in my life. If that's you, then I encourage you, come down. I'll pray with you. That's a prayer of my life always. You've heard me pray it many times. If the congregation sings, I invite you to come.
Number 260.